The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's racing. On this edition, you'll hear it all live from 1:50pm on Racing Radio. Sean Quinn, Craig Forsyth and Darren Owen will be the team in the studio. A big day at Newmarket. It's the start of their Cambridgeshire meeting. There's also racing at Pontefract and National Hunt Racing at Perth on Thursday afternoon. And we'll finish the day with an all-weather fixture on the Wolverhampton Poly Track. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmers?
Very good afternoon to you, Mark. And, well, it's good news that you're starting to step around the studio slightly swifter than you have been of late. Is it on the mend, that dodgy leg?
It is, yes. I got some good news from the doctor. I'm allowed to put some of my weight on it.
I wouldn't put all your weight on it,
mate. I knew that was coming.
That'll soon break it again, that's for sure.
Yes, and hopefully I'll be out of cast in a few weeks, and then I'll be able to start the physiotherapy to get walking again.
Oh, well, that's great news. I mean, it's a nasty break, but it sounds like you're going the right way, so hopefully you'll be soon back on your dancing feet.
Yes, hopefully so. Thank you very much, Pimmers. While we're on the subject of injuries then, Paul Mulrennan as well, it was a nasty fall, wasn't it? Apparently he's doing well, which is good news, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I actually watched that race, and gosh, it made your stomach turn when you saw him come down. Heck of a fall. And again, that's the thing with those flat boys. When they get a tumble, they know they've had a tumble, don't they? Because they're going at such speed, 5 furlong sprint. And it just Joe Fanning's horse just come off a straight line, clipped heels and down he went, didn't he? And he's more than likely very fortunate to get away with what he did. I mean, it's still not great when you think he's broken his ribs, his collarbone. You name it, he seems to have done it, doesn't he? But he's on the mend, that's for sure. And again, reading the paper today, it looks like the racing community have rallied round to help him and his family, which is great stuff.
It was nice. He suffered a concussion, a broken collarbone, a broken rib, a punctured lung and a battered face. So it was quite, quite a mess, wasn't it?
Don't bear thinking about, does it?
No. And Renato Sousa as well, another one, another jockey who was injured on that same day. Yeah, that one was at Kempton. He's apparently suffered fractured vertebrae, which isn't very nice.
Not nice at all, again. And he's being kept in hospital at the time being and possibly going to be transferred to a specialist unit in London for further examination. So, again, it's not good news for that young fella.
Well, we wish those two well, and we move on to Newmarket then, because it's the start of the Cambridgeshire meeting, which is always a good meeting to look forward to. And there's a few stories around that today, surrounding the big race as well, that William Haggart, it's a race he's never won, the Cambridgeshire, he's trying 6 runners at it this year to try and win it, and in handicaps as well he's done particularly well this year.
Yeah, well, the theory that if you throw enough darts at the board, Mark, some will stick. He's certainly going with that attitude, isn't he, for the Cambridgeshire. And again, if it's right what we read in the paper today, of his 6, he personally wouldn't favour one or the other. So either he's going to have 6 run really well or 6 run very disappointing, isn't he? But yeah, it'd be interesting if our odds compilers come up with a bet regarding if one of Haggis's could win, what price William Haggis winning the Cambridgeshire. But again, he's interesting that he's got so many, and many that are just there with chances. None of them are actually what you'd call outsiders.
No, none of them are, really. And the shortest price of them is Graphic, who's 14-1. That will be the mount of Frankie Dettori, who has won it in the past. He won it a few years ago now, didn't he? But Top Notch Tonto is the favourite at 9-1. Ascription 10s, Educate 14s with Graphic. Queensbury Rules, another of the Haggis Battalion, is 14-1. Chancery is 16s with Code of Honour, half a guinea and Short Squeeze. And then it's 20-1 or bigger prices the remainder. So wide open as usual.
Yeah, if I was going to have a little bet now, I'd go Code of Honour. He's been nibbled at early parts of the week. Good trainer in the shape of Henry Candy. Good jockey booking as well. And I think that could run really well. Code of Honour for me in the Cambridgeshire. A long way to go before the race, obviously, as we're recording on Wednesday afternoon. But I think you could have a bit of value there.
Yeah, and you're right, there has been a move on that as well. It was 25-1 earlier on in the week, now 16-1. So.
Right, well, maybe I've missed the boat.
Or maybe get on now before it shortens again.
Exactly.
Yeah, away from the Cambridge, then let's talk about the Cheveley Park Stakes. And with Lucky Cristal and Rosina doubtful for the race, Vorder apparently is one of the more prominent ones in the betting.
Yeah, the French trained horse certainly has a very, very high profile, and certainly he'll like the ground as well. And you know, she's very interesting, isn't she? Hmm. So she's going to start favourite, I should imagine. I think, as you say, Lucky Cristal and Rosine are going to body swerve that, and it's even interesting to see if Kyoshi takes her chance as well. So it might just cut up, believe it or not,
yeah,
and leave Vorda looking a good thing.
Yep. Yeah, Kyoshi is one of those that's expected to go as well, so it could well turn into a bit of a battle between those two, couldn't it? But I think Lucky Cristal, I think I read the other day that she scoped badly, so that might be why she's missing the race.
Yeah, because she's been very impressive, hasn't she, all summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they won't take a chance if she's not 110.
Mm. And as far as the Royal Lodge is concerned, then Berkshire's going to have a tilt at that. It'll be Berkshire's first foray into Group 2 company as well, and Paul Cole has decided to go for that rather than the Group 3 Somerville Tattersall Stakes.
Yeah, I think the mile's going to suit him possibly better than the 7 furlongs, isn't it? Certainly the ground is going to be decent as well, according to today's paper, that it's good at the moment. Some nice dry autumnal days ahead of them, so it should ride really perfect ground over the next few days at Newmarket.
OK, well, that's a few of the races coming up later on in the week. We're going to look at Thursday's racing now, because that's the first day of the meeting. And we're going to look at the three big races on the day. We've got two listed races and a Group 3. And we'll start in the 3:10, which is the Princess Royal Richard Hambro EBF Stakes, which was the Harvest Stakes. It's a filly's listed race over a mile and a half. And where do you want to start in this one, Pimmy?
I thought it was a real interesting race, as you can imagine, for the fillies. And a mile and a half the trip. John Gosden won this race last year with Gallipot, mm-hmm. and I thought there was a chance that he could do the same again this year, but this time in the shape of Fizz. She's been running really well of late. She ran well in defeat last time out, Fizz. That was in the Doncaster Cup. Admittedly, that was 3 furlongs longer than tomorrow's trip, but she ran a good second to the Lark, who was an easy winner, to be perfectly honest, but she was best of the rest. Obviously, Gosden knows what it takes to win this race, and I think she's got a lot of ticks in the boxes. She's officially rated 103, which is the same handicap mark as Court Pastoral. Now, Court Pastoral, last time we saw her, she ran in France, and I thought she slightly disappointed on that occasion at Chantilly, but again, got her up a game a little bit again tomorrow, but prior to that, her form was rock solid.
Yeah, she's unbeaten in Britain, isn't she?
And, you know, that would be a step in the right direction if she can get that fillies listed under a belt. But again, slightly disappointed in Chantilly last time out. And the other horse that I thought could run a nice sort of race is the Caelan Fallon Mount Tempest Fugit, the other runner from the Gosden Yard. Just had the one run so far this season. Didn't run too badly, I didn't think, on that occasion. And I definitely feel that at about a double figure price, she could be interesting.
OK. But you're going to come down on the side of Fizz in the end?
Go Fizz for John Gosden and William Buick. And each way slant on the race would be the other Gosden runner, Tempest Fugit and Kieran Fallon.
OK. On to the 3:40 next, and this is the big race of the day. It's the Somerville Tattersall Stakes, which is a Group 3 over 7 furlongs. And, we've got some good-looking 2-year-olds in this. There's a couple that are unbeaten, the likes of God Willing and Silent Bullet, and there's plenty bringing winning form into this as well, Pimmers. It's a good race, isn't it?
It's a very competitive race, and certainly how it should be for a Group 3 contest. We've got 8 of them going to post, so again, if you wanted to take an each-way slant on this race, you could. Of the two that are unbeaten, God Willing ran well on his debut, and that was at Newbury over 7 furlongs. 7 furlongs the trip again tomorrow. But again, you just don't know how much he's going to improve from that debut run. He certainly will need to improve, but from Ed Dunlop and Jamie Spencer's point of view, I'm sure that could be the case. And the same could be said about Silent Bullet, who's been on the racecourse twice, won twice, and he beat Safety Check very cosily last time out at Haydock Park, and again steps up in grade tomorrow afternoon, but there's no reason to say why he couldn't. Obviously the form horse in the race is Cable Bay. He's been plying his trade in Group 2 company of late. He ran well in defeat last time out. That was up at Doncaster when he was third of four behind Outstrip. Again, that form for me in the context of this race is head and shoulders above the rest. He's more than likely going to go off favourite, but I presume he'll be the one to beat.
Yeah, his form before that as well was pretty good, wasn't he? He was second in the Richmond Stakes, which is another Group 2, only a neck behind Sayer and only a length behind Aster in the other Group 2 that he's running in the Gimcrack Stakes.
And the thing about him is, you know, he's plied his trade in this company before. One or two of the others are having to step up or applied the trade in this grade and not possibly run quite up to scratch.
One we haven't mentioned in there, Pim, is Championship, who's trained by Richard Hannon. Richard Hughes in the saddle, and they won this last year with Havana Golden. They're always a yard to look out for with the two-year-olds, aren't they? So.
Well, they are. He won well on debut, and then he really bombed out behind War Command at Royal Ascot. Obviously, going an extra furlong tomorrow shouldn't be a hindrance to him. It's the case of, can you forgive him that disappointing run? And it was a bitterly disappointing run at Royal Ascot. Or can you forgive him and say, well, his debut success was good enough, he kind of up his game, and then he could become a little bit of a challenger. But it's whether you can forgive and forget.
OK. And you're not willing to pin us? You're going to go with...
I'm going to go with the form horse,
yep.
Cable Bay.
OK. On to the final race we're going to look at then. This is the 4:15. It's the Jockey Club Rose Bowl, which was the Fenwolf Stakes. This is another listed race. This one's over the 2 mile trip, so we've got the stayers in action for this one. And Repeater could be quite popular in the betting here, Pimmers.
Yeah, he certainly could. Repeater, he's been running really well, trained by David O'Meara. It continues to churn out winners day after day. And, well, we last saw Repeater in the Doncaster Cup, which was a Group 2. He was third of seven behind Time's Up. That was a plenty good enough run, to be perfectly honest, for Repeater. Plied his trade in this sort of company on many occasions. He has a hood on tomorrow. And, again, he comes there with a big chance. But I'm going to look further afield to him, and I'm going to look towards last year's winner, Caucus.
Yep.
He's been in good form of late this season. I thought he ran plenty well enough in the Group 2 at York back in August when he was 4.5 lengths behind Azamir, and I thought that was rock solid form. And I think again, back up to trip tomorrow, back to 2 miles, certainly suit him. We know he likes the track, having won the race last year, and again, big fan of William Buick and John Gosden.
OK, so could be a good day for the Gosden.
Well, they had a good day last year. They say lightning never strikes twice, but hopefully it could do for them tomorrow.
OK, what are you worried about in that race, Pimmers?
I think there's one or two in there that could take a hand in the finish. If you're looking to put me on the mark for a each-way slant, it's something that you never were.
Model pupil.
You've got it, Sunshine. Yeah. I thought he ran well enough behind Harris Tweed at Goodwood in that listed stakes last time out. He's sure to be a double figure price, and he could be the each way slant on the race.
OK, let's have a quick summary then, Pimmy, if you will, if you'll spin us through your selections for the first day of the Cambridgeshire meeting.
Yeah, well, just again, another thing. If you're thinking about travelling to Newmarket over the next 3 days,
yep,
be warned.
Right.
Stephen Powell is in residence.
Right.
He's going to be doing the race call, not calling, but announcements.
Presenting,
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, presenting, yeah. Announcing. So anybody at Newmarket want to go and see him, you won't miss him. He'll be the fat chubby one with the microphone outside the weighing room. Anyway, less of that drivel. Let's get to the three selections for tomorrow at Newmarket. In the 3:10, we've gone for number 10, Fizz. In the 3:40, we're going for number 2, Cable Bay. And in the 4:15, the listed race, we're going for number 1, Caucus.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Pimmy. Enjoy on Thursday. So there you go then, the selections of Chris Pimlott on the opening day of this year's Cambridgeshire meeting. We're looking forward to a very good 3 days at Newmarket. You'll hear the action from there and the rest of Thursday's action as well. There's Pontefract and Perth in the afternoon and Wolverhampton in the evening. It will be Sean Quinn, Craig Forsyth and Darren Owen in the studio, and they'll be live from 1:50 p.m. on Racing Radio. So tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.